All right, I have got the next set of questions. Questions is early years, education, employment and training. All right, so learning and connection opportunities in early primary and secondary years are critical, important to help the town survive and grow. As a community, we are hurting, as we have lost great families because of our system not providing what our children need. Families can choose between Mini Gems Children's Centre and Umana Childcare Centre when it comes to their young children. Mini Gems is currently run by the District Council. It has struggling with closing, it's not closing, and it's closing, and it's not closing for many years. The community cannot afford of this. It makes sense to many of the community that the SA Education Department should take Mini Gems as part of Coober-Pedy Area School. The department provide a children's centre model to many communities in South Australia, including Roxby Downs and Andamooka. What can we can be done to ensure that these critical services are not lost?
Yeah, it's I'll take this one. The council has flagged this on a number of occasions, and I have to say it was somewhat frustrating during the term the last government took forward. The idea that the education department should take over Mini Gems. It's a very sensible proposition for the education department to do that. So I've spoken to the current minister and to the chief of staff. I've written to them. So they're actually now looking at it. Now, it was being looked at before, and we didn't get an outcome. But I think a little bit of pressure this time, we should get an outcome. And because it's some other communities want the state to take over childcare services, those early years, it's but in some of those other communities, there's no buildings, there's nothing in place at the moment from an institutional or an organisation point of view, where everything is in place in Coober-Pedy. You've already got a building on a school site which is owned by the education department. And if the education department were to take over the running of that service, they would receive federal government subsidies plus the income that is provided by parents. So it's a very sensible proposition, and it's one that I'm strongly advocating for, and hopefully we'll get a reasonably quick response, because we do not want uncertainty. Now, I understand that it's going to be funded until halfway through next year, and at that point, if there's no support, the council will pull out, because it's been run at a $200,000 deficit from a council that has already got a very significant level of debt. But we would want something flagged before the start of the new year, and that's so that parents can make decisions. That if it was to close, you would find that there'll be some parents will leave this community, and they might be police, they might be nurses, they might be teachers, and other people that play important roles in this community. So it is an incredibly important issue. And when we talk about attraction and retention, you need accredited childcare services, and childcare services that have got continuity, that are open throughout the week. So it's an incredibly important service, and it needs to be supported. What I would do, I encourage all of you to also, to petitions are one thing, yeah, and petitions often don't get the traction that they sometimes might deserve. But if individuals can write to the minister, just saying what an important need this is, that all helps my case. But I think the case is an incredibly strong one, so I'm going to advocate very strongly internally about this, and I'm more than happy to go to the media about it as well, because it's something that should be done, because it's just, I can't underestimate how important it is.
I'll add just a little bit. I won't add too much. I'll just say what he said. But no, seriously, the Commonwealth is the major funder of childcare, and the new government has said they're lifting the maximum subsidy from 85% to 90% in the middle of next year. And that's for people earning up to $72,000 a year from memory, and then it slowly grades out right through to $500,000 a year. And people would still be on $400,000, still getting assistance through the subsidy. And given that, it's a bit like aged care. The Commonwealth provides the bulk of the money. It provides the regulation, and it would not be appropriate if they also provide the service. Like you need some separation. So the next two bodies are the ones that can step up, and that being your local council or the school. But in communities like this, and let me tell you, I've got five communities I'm dealing with at the moment who have no childcare. They're all populations of less than 1,500. So I talked about that before, the number of communities I have similar size to Cooper Pedy. And they are just not big enough to sustain a commercial model. So we're not going to see one of the big national operators come into these centres where they might have 20 children or 15. But that's where all of the centres have public schools. And while I know the state governments generally say, oh, well, you know, we look after kids when they start school, when they start preschool. We don't look after them when they're younger. That's somebody else's problem. I think that needs to be absolutely addressed. I'm very pleased Eddie's taken it up with the government. I'm more than happy to join him in that push. And write to Blair Boyer and just say, look, how about consideration of this? Because what I am not going to be able to get, I don't think, childcare in places like Crystal Brook and Wilmington without this kind of ability to tap into the school, because it makes sense. I mean, they've already got an administration there. There is a whole lot of things offered at the school. They've got grounds. You don't have to go off and fence off new areas and all that kind of thing. And a lot of schools, there's even a spare building, to be honest. So it makes sense, and it should happen.
Yeah, can I just say that, look, I really want to apologise for the uncertainty that the council's created. But look, unfortunately, the only way we could get any traction with government was to essentially threaten closure. And of course we've had change of government. I mean, I don't like doing that because it creates uncertainty for families. And of course, you know, those early years of development are incredibly important for young people. But unfortunately, you know, we were putting our hands in your pockets for about $200,000 a year to subsidise that, and childcare essentially is not a local government responsibility. As I understand it, it used to be a community-run centre, and that then ceased and the council took it over. So hopefully it was great news today from Eddie, that because we haven't been able to get traction at the bureaucratic level. So first I heard about this was today, which is really, really good news. And I think Eddie's point about a calendar year rather than financial year is a really important one in terms of attracting and retaining people in town. So providing things are progressing well, initially it was the 31st of December we were going to close. We've extended that to 30 June. And based on what I heard today, I mean, I think we should seriously contemplate looking to ensure the service until the 31st of December next year, so that we pick up that issue that Eddie raised. But I that's difficult for people that are trying to work out where they're going to place their kids when they're working, or want to provide an opportunity for them to learn when they're young. So. But this is government not working together. I might add. I've been here since 2019, and I've been trying to sort this issue out since 2019. And we were given an assurance very early on that the state government would take it over, and then that fell over. So it's sort of backward and forward. So anyway, they're the trial and tribulations of government.
So we I think we have got a kind of commitment which is fantastic, because obviously a lot of families have to make a decision pretty much now if they are moving or not moving, what they are doing next year. And I think the calendar year is very, very important, so we can see another 12 months until it gets rediscussed, and maybe Department of Education can take over from then. Many families feel that the education opportunities that their children need are not being provided in Cooper Pedy. For example, we have a commercial kitchen here and an empty TAFE campus, along with other facilities. Yet we constantly send kids to Adelaide for short courses. Many young people don't want to do this, as they find it hard to be away from home. The community could help with so much, but feel unwelcome at the school. Two questions. What can and should be done to see education opportunities provided for our children and young people in town? And what can we do, what can be done to open the school to the wider community to help however they can?
Are you ready? Yeah, that is a, in some respects, that's a really hard question, and I don't have a simple solution to some of the issues that are faced. I can say that when it comes to the TAFE, and both the previous Labor government and the most recent Liberal state government did not serve our TAFE sector well. I think we need to rebuild public vocational education in this state, and indeed in other states. To see courses stripped away from regional campuses are just borders on the criminal, because it has a really adverse impact upon young people in regional communities. There are registered there private providers when it comes to vocational education of varying qualities, but they're generally not interested in regional communities, because they see them as thin markets. If they're for-profit ones, they can't make enough money. That service delivery is harder. If you're not-for-profit, there's still costs to be incurred despite the government subsidies that they get. So there's a real role for public vocational education provision, and that should be through our TAFE sector. Once upon a time, here in the Opal capital of the world, you used to be able to learn how to cut opal at the TAFE here, and all the equipment was there. That was all stripped out. I think that was a very backward step. That's knowing that there's a commercial kitchen at the school that's not put to use, and kids are being sent off to Adelaide, and it's not just Cooper Pedy. I look at a community as big as Wyalup up there, its biggest industry, the steel-making industry with significant mines on its doorstep. Yeah, all our metal trades are now sent down to, that are employed, apprentices employed by the steelworks, are now all sent down to Adelaide to get their training because of the way that the TAFE system has degraded. Yeah, so there needs to be significant reinvestment in our TAFE system, in reskilling Australia. But there are some deeper issues here when it comes to education. Yeah, there are people that feel that some of the kids are not benefiting. And as a result, that makes families think, are we going to stay here or are we going to move to Adelaide? Because there is this attainment gap between regional South Australia as a whole. There are real pockets of differences. Regional South Australia as a whole and the metropolitan area. And that attainment gap is usually put at 2 years. And in some communities, it is worse than that. So parents go, well, where am I going to educate my kids? So they do not face a significant disadvantage. I've made a commitment to involve the minister to specifically have a look at some of the issues here in Cooper Pedy. Some of these issues will be shared with other communities, but I think there are a particular set of issues here, and there needs to be a real focus on that, because it's just the implications of getting education not right are serious. One of the things that did come up, and it was a teacher, a principal at the Roxby Downs school. She said that one of the things that she would like to see changed when we were in opposition was the country members allowance. If I'm not sure if that's the correct term, that teachers were paid, and it used to come to an end after 5 years. And for instance, the Roxby Downs school last year, towards the end of the year, they were going to lose their 30 staff. So because of the cut-off period for that allowance, it often led to churn in the system, and country schools often found themselves, especially the more hard-to-staff country schools, getting the least experienced their teachers. It's a, which is not a reflection on those their teachers. It's a, so we have tweaked that allowance so it does not run out. That it's a that is now a permanent allowance for someone that comes from the city to work in country schools. Now that's not going to address some of these problems. There's a lot of schools at the moment in regional South Australia that are finding it very difficult to fill places, and that's happening in big some of our biggest regional communities, and it's happening in some of our smaller communities. So there needs to be a lot more attention focused on this about how we are going to address it, and I don't have any simple solutions here tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. TAFEs, in my opinion, have been incredibly badly managed, like at statewide level, for well over a decade. And we've all watched the rundown of TAFEs. What occurred at a national level is private enterprise was allowed into the system, and TAFE couldn't keep up. I get told all the time, many times, people say federal government funding for TAFE has been cut. It hasn't. It's basically run on a subsidy system, a little like we were talking about before with childcare. As you get the bum through the door, get them signed up, well, the subsidies start flowing to the institution. And what happened is there's a whole lot of... We've got miners in the room. I won't put them on the spot. But the big companies, the commercial operations, are actually getting better service out of the private sector, and that's why they've gone there. They're prepared to offer courses on weekends. They're quite flexible about their hours. TAFE is a very stiff organisation that doesn't have those kind of flexibilities. And so consequently, they've had their lunch cut. At the moment, just to give you some idea, we are at a record level of young people in trades and skills training in the electorate of Grey. Well over 3,000. It's the highest we've ever been. And well up on where we were even 7 or 8 years ago, where it was down around 1,500. So we've got a lot of people in training, but they're not in the TAFEs. Now, the new federal government has offered some extra money for TAFEs directly for facility improvement. I think it's $50 million a year, and I think it's coming over the next 4 years. I don't know how far that will go in rejuvenating these campuses. But my view is if you can give them the shiniest and newest facility between here and Adelaide, but if they're not flexible enough and don't work hard enough at getting that customer back from the private enterprise, they probably won't succeed. So more power to them, because I'd like to see more the TAFEs operating well. I see the workshops shut all over the place or barely offering any courses. And you think, what a crime that is. But it's not as if people aren't getting trained. They're being trained by somebody else. Now, we can argue about the quality of it, Eddie, but of course, TAFE, they got audited on 14 different trades, and they failed the whole bloody lot. So you've got to say, that's where I started, this organisation has been appallingly run from the top for too long.
Do you want to reiterate that? But yeah, so the next question I might skip it, but it's basically about our opal cutting course, which you brought into the conversation as well. So maybe you have something more to say, but we used to have an internationally recognised opal cutting course, which was taken away without any conversations by the Labor government. We have a huge need of courses in retail, hospitality, business, startup, tourism and other things. What can be done to have more of these courses and opportunities available in Cooper Pedy, especially when we have a TAFE campus sitting here and ready to go. So are we saying we should really approach other companies? Is that what we're really saying? I don't know.
There's some interesting points made by Rowan, and I actually agree with some of them. And I was quite explicit in saying that both Labor and Liberal governments have badly served our TAFE system. And I think a Labor state government that took what I call the contestability Kool-Aid, because once upon a time, the TAFE sector, and especially in country areas, did the heavy lifting. And the training was actually very good, but that was allowed to degrade. And because they did the heavy lifting, they had a whole range of other obligations that private providers did not have. It was the beginning of the end. I'm highly critical of the previous Labor state government for essentially corporatising TAFE and setting up a board, and a lot of regional autonomy was stripped away. But then the incoming Liberal government, with their privatisation agenda, had a clear agenda to virtually destroy TAFE in this state. I believe that it is incredibly important for regional people that we do rebuild a public vocational education provider. Because you're going to find in places with small populations a lack of willingness on the part of the private sector to step in. So there's a social obligation there, and it's an obligation that government has to carry. So government needs to fund in communities like this the things that are going to make a difference. Now, we've mentioned the opal cutting, and it seems to me to make instinctive sense in a community like this. Now, whether that is viable, I've got absolutely no doubt. And once again, this gets back to when we talk about TAFE being flexible, sometimes you have to have a look at the qualifications. There are people in this community that, yeah, to state the bleeding obvious, that know how to cut opal. And some of those people might want to train up people in this community to do that. Now, whether there's employment outcomes as a result, there might well be. Whether there are business opportunities for the kids doing that or adults doing that, there might well be. But that is something to be tested. But I think it is worthwhile exploring the feasibility of reintroducing opal cutting, but amongst a whole range of things at the TAFE that could be delivered here. But it comes down to this sense of obligation. Yeah, we've talked about electricity, and yeah, we've had discussions today. I've met with people talking about water. It's the reason why we cross-subsidise electricity and stuff like this. It's all about equity for people that live in country areas. Well, that equity should also apply to the provision of training, that we should not, in regional communities, have to often overwhelmingly send our kids down to Adelaide to get training, because that in itself is a barrier, and there's all sorts of barriers around that. So it means some of our kids then miss out on training. We should do as much as possible within the resources available. I would argue the resources have to be the expanded as much as possible, as close to home as possible.
So, Brendan, can I just make a comment? 2019, the state budget in 2019 proposed the closure of the TAFE in Cooper Pedy, and I think also Roxby Downs. And Roxby was closed, that's right. And in fact, the council agitated and I'm sure Eddie did too, I just can't recall, to keep the keep our TAFE. So we were successful, that was reversed, that decision, and I guess that just demonstrates the ability of communities to influence change, particularly with government. We've got another challenge on our hands at the moment with a bank, and that's in private hands. But you know, you can reverse decisions, and albeit that as Ryan and Eddie have said, I mean the TAFE's not delivering. It's not delivering, but at least we've still got a TAFE, and it's a decent building. And there is huge potential there to reintroduce TAFE courses in Cooper Pedy. So again, that just demonstrates the don't just necessarily accept what government is proposing to do. If we work together again, we can reverse some decisions.
Thank you very much. I also know that with the task force, what Minister Brock was committed to, that we will have Minister of Education, for example, coming up, and I will raise that again. Thank you very much for your support. So we have got one more question. Opal, tourism and hospitality are vital industry in Cooper Pedy. Cooper Pedy gets very little support from both the state and federal government to support specifically these industries. What can both the state and federal government offer to support the vital industries of Cooper Pedy?
In a way, I don't think it's a... because that almost implies a bit of a top-down approach with government saying, well, we're going to offer you this or offer you that. I think it's important that, once again, it comes from the community, it comes from businesses, it comes from collective activity here. What is it that you see as important? The last time, I think there was any real support offered to the, for instance, the opal mining industry was a long time ago, where Paul Holloway was the minister under the Rang government, and I think it was the Opal Miners Association at the time agitated for a drilling program to see if other fields could be found. Now I don't think that was there was a lot of there was a little bit of controversy about all of that, but say when it does come to the future of the opal mining industry. Yeah, it comes down to the individuals and to their peak organisation. But if there are sensible things that government can do to enhance the opal mining industry, that's for the peak bodies, whether it's the Opal Miners Association or other bodies collectively or individuals, to come up with options that government can look at. I guess I'm someone with a bit of a an interest in opal. My Glaswegian dad thought it'd be a fantastic idea. Not long after we came out to Australia to load the EH up and go opal mining in Andamooka in the middle of summer. And we did that a few years in a row. And as a result of that, I wanted to be for many years while I was at school a geologist, because I was fascinated by opal and the processes and what have you. So it is, opal is something that we can hang our hat on in this state. But how is it that we enhance the industry? But that's for the industry to work together, to put proposals to government, because I think it's an industry that does deserve support, and we provide support to the through the various programs, the original PACE program, to the mineral sector and to the oil and gas sector. It's so some reasonable amount of government money goes into that. There's no reason why there should not be some thought through processes entered into to determine how best to help the opal industry. And once again, with tourism, there's often all sorts of grants available. It's for tourism related activities and work through your bodies collectively to identify what sort of things it is that you need as a community that cannot be done individually by businesses or collectively. So are often, resources are always scarce, but decisions have to be made. But governments have demonstrated at a federal level, at a state level, on the both governments, a willingness to provide support. But it has to come from the grassroots. It's not going to be government not going to come along and say, "Oh, we're going to do X, Y, and Z." Well, they do occasionally, but they're not going to do that. It needs to come from the grassroots. And this community having a vision and having some practical steps in that vision, share that with government and let's see what can happen.
Yeah, I won't keep you much of your time. I agree with Eddie entirely. On this particular one, it's this community that needs to tell us what it is that you need. Now, that's not always easy to do because no community agrees on everything. But if you can see a spot where government could assist, that would make sense. Well, let us know about it. I mean, you've got a committee discussing these things today. We've got a crowd here today. We've got the council. There's plenty of ways of contacting us, getting us through, asking us to come up and sit down with a group of you. We're open to those ideas, but I don't think highly unlikely that either Eddie or I will have the best ideas for Cooper Pedy in any of those fields. We will do our best to represent you, I think would be fair to say.
Thank you very much.
Just from the council's perspective, the budget that I inherited, we used to provide about $90,000 a year for tourism net. Not a lot of money, but that's essentially the visitor information centre. But we provided no money at all to the opal industry, and it was pretty topical. At the time, I was caught in the crossfire. You know, little people sort of for and against the Miners Association, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I did have a deputation of miners at a council meeting probably 2 or 3 months ago in respect of this issue. And I know it's created a bit of controversy in the town, but I was certainly convinced of the need to provide the same level of assistance to the opal industry that we did for the tourism industry. So this budget, the current year budget, council budget, does have $90,000 in there to support the industry. We don't know the opal industry. We don't know what that looks like at the moment. We certainly won't just be handing it over. We'll control the purse strings, but both of those industries are equally important to the future of this town.
So I get the message that it is actually budgeted in, but it's not spent yet, that money. So people have to come up with a reason and, you know, see if it can be supported or not. Is that correct?
Yes, that is. We'll be very careful because we don't have a track record. We haven't provided any money for some years, and you know, let's be honest, the Miners Association are they've been in a better place in terms of their governance. So we've got to be careful that the money it's ratepayers' money. So we've got to ensure that money is spent wisely. I think there needs to be perhaps some review of the governance. You know, perhaps we need an opal industry association rather than an opal miners association, and that might be controversial as well. But there are various sectors to the opal industry, so why just focus on the miners?
So what I'm getting from this conversation is that Cooper Pedy together needs to come together and come up with a really huge plan to promote our town, to promote the opal industry and the tourism industry as well. Thank you for that.